Okay.
Get this thing settled.
Amen. I want to be obedient to the Lord before I start this. And there was two things the Lord showed me while we were worshiping the Lord. And one of them is this. There's somebody here tonight. And God is talking to you about defilement. And the reason he doesn't want his children defiled is because it's the opposite of purity. It's the opposite of holiness. And there are, this is for somebody here tonight that has, they've been tempted either through people or through situations or through something they've seen, they heard, and or maybe even a false doctrine. But there is something here that God wants to deal with. And God's saying, come out from among them tonight. Come out from amongst this defilement. Because this defilement is going to take you down. It's going to hurt you bad. And it's going to take you into a place that you don't want to go. So walk out of it. The other thing was in Psalm 16. And this is so precious. It says, but to the saints who are in the earth and to the excellence in whom is all my delight. And it says, and that's verse 3. And verse 5, it says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, and thou maintainest my lot. And verse 10 and 11 says this, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence, and in thy presence, O God, is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I just want to submit to you tonight that you are the excellent ones in whom all his delight is, all his delight. He delights over you. He rejoices over you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the enemy has said to you. I don't care how much guilt and condemnation you feel from your uprisings or your downfallings. God says you are his excellent ones. And he says this also. He said, I will not leave your soul in hell. And even though you think you walk through that valley of the shadow of death, he said, I won't leave you there. He's bringing you out, church. He's bringing us out into purity. He's bringing us out into joy. And that is what it's about today. And that is universally where God's taking his people. But he's got to do some things first. And tonight, if you'll turn into, you'll turn over to Psalms 91.
Oh, amen.
Verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing, but we're going to... First, we're going to focus on Psalms 91, verse 1. Before I get into the message, I want to pray. Father God, I thank you for your mercy tonight. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, as I just commit this word to you in honor of you, I humble myself before you, God. And I disappear behind the cross of Christ. That when my beloved and your beloved hear, the excellent ones, Lord, when they hear your voice, that they know it's you that loves them. And that you would bring life to them, God. That you would speak deep into the very inner parts of their heart. That you would just shine that light, God, into the darkness and into that place, God, and give them a delivering power that is beyond us, that's beyond me or beyond anything else, Lord, but that you would right now touch us with the very gift of heaven, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you in this place. We welcome you in our hearts. We welcome you in our lives. And we're asking you, God, to touch us now. We're asking you, God, to purify our hearts, purify our hands. God, cleanse our lips with a coal and bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Bring forth the fruit of righteousness, God. Bring forth the fruit of peace, love, and joy. And Lord, let us be more than conquerors. For Lord, your word says that we are your excellent ones and that we are your inheritance. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, God, for your mercy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. You know, this message has just been, it's like, the Lord told me about a month ago. He said, I want you to pick up this book and start reading it. And I got all the way to page 22, and I've been reading paragraph by paragraph. And this is where a lot of this is coming from. And then I had to sit down. And I really, because it floored me, some of the things that some of the men, and this is by Charles Finney, but I read other things about Wesley and Finney, but there was something, and even the apostles, and even the Old Testament saints believed one thing. They had one thing in common that I believe that is lacking today, because there's a lie, there's this, and you see it on the bumper stickers. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. And so tonight, some of you are going to say, well, okay, Rex, because I'm going to mention two laws, the law of the gospel and the law of the Old Testament, because both of them coincide with each other. But one of the things that we're going to understand tonight in this is that we can be perfectly hidden in Christ and be perfectly holy. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's read Psalms 91, verse 1 only. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, when that psalm was written, I didn't understand it. I said, how can they write something like that? How can you be hidden under the shadow of the Almighty? How can you actually say something like that when today in Christianity, we are under the fire. It seems like there's mortars coming from all directions. We're in a war, and the enemy, it seems as though he was winning. Until I read some of these things in this book, and I began to back it up with Scripture, and I understood something that what God was trying to say to me. He's saying, son, your life has stains on it. You're not perfect in holiness. You're not perfect in me. Because in Matthew 5, verse 48, it says, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I don't believe in my heart that God would give us something to do and just sit up there and say, okay, be ye perfect, and nobody can make it and send us to hell. If anybody believe, I believe that he made that possible through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I believe God's called his church to be perfect now. I believe that we're walking into a place, as it says in Revelations 19:11. It says it this way. It says, and the bride made herself ready. And it said, glory and hallelujah and amen. Because and all of heaven was worshiping because the bride had made herself ready. The bride had walked or was with white garments. The bride was walking without stain. The bride was walking in righteousness and holiness. And I believe that's where God's taken us. I believe that we are that revelation generation, that it is a privilege to be born today, that it is a privilege that God chose you. He chose you. He chose our pastors. He chose you. He chose every one of you. Matt, he chose you. He chose every one of us to live today because he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. I'm going to talk about something tonight, and it's our will. The difference between people who prevail in God and don't prevail in God is their will. God gave you a free will. You can do with it what you want. You can put it in the offering. You can put it in the trash can. And you can live in the garbage. or you can put it in His Word. Now, the Bible in James 1 says it this way. It says that our desires lead us to temptation. And our temptation leads us to sin, and sin to death. Okay, so if it is our desire to walk in holiness, and we exercise our will, there needs to come a point where in our lives where all these issues that we have, these character things, and not to get into introspective. Introspective means to look at yourself and have your eyes on your belly button all the time and not looking at what God is doing. Because God created you. And I want you to understand, you were created in God's own image. You weren't created in sin's own image. You were created in God's own image. Sin, when you were born, stained you, period. But you were created in God's image. And God is perfect. He didn't create no junk. He created you. He created every one of us to be His inheritance, to be His, to delight in us, the excellent ones. That's the way God created you. And I want to get this one thing across to you tonight, is that it is possible to be perfect in God. I want you to understand that no matter what the trial is, you can hide under the shadow of His wings. You know, in Exodus 33, verses 20 through 22, there was a, and I'm bouncing around from my notes because there's just something the Holy Spirit's trying to get at here. And then I'm going to go back to this. I want to just show you something here. Exodus 33 is when, right after Moses, he was up on the mountain, and the first set of tablets were made. And he comes down, and all the people are worshiping this golden calf. And he threw them at him. But then God told him something. He says, go. You go into your promised land. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to send my angel with you. I'm going to send the angel of the Lord. And I'm going to fight all your battles, and you're going to be a blessed people and all this. And Moses came to this one place. He said, Lord, He said, you said I found grace in your sight, and I am your friend. But do not, we will not go if your presence doesn't go with us. And this is the place where we need to come in our lives, where the presence of the Holy Spirit is so evident that we cherish His presence, that we cherish where He's at with us, that we cherish that relationship, that we bring that place to where nothing else matters, no matter what is going on with you. And I feel that in our hearts and in the Spirit of God, there's a place that God has taken us. And if you look through at verse 20, He said, unless your presence goes with you. And then He asked the Lord in verse 18, He says, show me your glory. And now verse 20, He goes, and He said, you cannot see my face. Now God was speaking to Moses here, and He said, there shall no man see me and live. Now I want to say something to you just to jump off there. When Jesus died, the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. We have free access. Then no man can come and see the face of God. And what I'm saying is that no man can come and seek His face and visit with Him, visit with the Father, because Jesus gave us access. Jesus gave us this access that is beyond any human comprehension. But when He said this, He said in verse 21, it says, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. You understand what I'm saying here? There is a place by my right hand and my throne, Moses, and it is the rock. It's the rock of Christ. It's the same one that He struck in the desert. It's the same one that went and put Himself on a cross, and for the joy that was set before Him, laid His life down. And that's why we can have joy, because He had joy in doing it. We can have this joy no matter what we go through, Because when Christ was tempted, when Christ was going through his hardest and darkest trial, he says, but for the joy that was set before him. And I want you to get a hold of this. It's for the, you can have joy. You can have joy in the presence of the Holy Spirit today. And you can have joy in all that you do, no matter what the trial. But you have to separate some things. You have to separate your will and say, no matter what. I was speaking to a young man earlier today and yesterday. And he said, I can't do this. I still desire this. And I've got to do it this way and I got to do it that way. And the Lord just spoke to me through, it's like something came up in me. And I began to speak to him. And I said, you know, there's a plumb line, young man. There's a plumb line. And the plumb line is God's word. We stand on God's word, but if you're willing and you desire God's ways, no matter what, you can go forward in Christ because there's healing in the Lord. But this young man wasn't so with it. And I fear for him. I fear for the things that are about to encroach upon this young man's life because I've seen it. Time and time again, when we don't say, God, and every one of us has this issue. There's certain sins. I mean, you go with drug addiction, you go with alcoholism, you go with all this blatant stuff, and there's one thing. We can get over that. But to get over those issues, the Holy Spirit speaking to you in, we say, oh, God, you know, I'll just put that off till tomorrow. And we kind of sidestep it a little. But God's saying, no, you can't sidestep it anymore. And that's where God has taken this. And now, you know, so to be perfect, what is being perfect mean? Does anybody know? Anybody? I'm serious. Anybody know what being perfect in Christ means? This is what God revealed to me. And it was through Charles Finney, because when I read this, it set me down on my backside. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried. And I said, God, how do I come this way? What does it mean to be perfect? And it's simply this. It's one fact. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the perfection of the law. That is the law fulfilled. And to understand being perfect, it means this. God is perfect. He was not created. And because he was not created, he loves everything about himself. All his character, everything about God, he loves himself in it. Okay, and he calls us to love him the same way. And we can. Now the word love it's called agape. It means love unconditionally. And in this love that God is calling us to come to, we can't do it in and of ourselves. We cannot do this. You can't muster up everything except for one thing. You can set your will to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And that is where the grace of God comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit. And you begin to cry out for the Holy Spirit because when you realize that you can't do it, you come face to face with one thing. And I'm going to read this in this book. This is just one paragraph. And he was talking about, he wrote this as a rebuttal to some other pastors and what they were, there was a conflicting message. But when you got to understand, there was fruit in this man's life. When he walked up to the edge of his city, it trembled. Sinners fell on their knees when he began to pray. And there was a presence of God that was undeniable. So he says, I admit and believe there is a desperate unwillingness in the case. And if this is what you mean by moral inability is the inability of not being able to do something that is morally right, okay? And he said this, there is an obstinate unwillingness in sinners to become Christians. An obstinate unwillingness. And in Christians to become perfect. To come up to the full protection required by both law and gospel, sinners may strongly wish to desire to be rid of all their sins and may pray for it, even with agony. They may think they are willing to be perfect, but they deceive themselves. They may feel willing to renounce their sins as a whole or as an abstract idea, but taken in detail one by one, there are many sins they are unwilling to give up. They wrestle against sin in general, but cling to it in detail. I have known cases of kind where individuals break down in such manners that they think they will never sin again, and then perhaps in 1 hour, something will come up and they are all ready to fight for the indulgence again and need to be broken down again and again. Christians actually need, now this, I want you to hear this, because this is what sat me down and this is what made me cry. This is what hurt me bad, because I realized I was guilty of what he just said. Christians actually need to be hunted from one sin to another before they are willing to give them up. And after when they are truly willing to give up all sin, and when they have no will of their own, but merge their will entirely to the will of God, their bonds are broken. And when they yield absolutely to God's will, then they are filled with the fullness of God. When the Lord sat me down and he said, son, this is your issue. This is where you walk. But this is the promise that I have for you. And he took me back and he said in Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. When we dwell, we abide in that secret place. That secret place is the presence of God, folks. And as we begin to walk in this, there's some things that we're going to see. And one of the things I'm going to point out to you tonight is this isn't, so far we've dealt with the Old Testament, but now we're going to deal with the New Testament, okay? Okay, so I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter 1. That's after Revelations. I mean, before Revelations. In verses 2 through 11. First, I'm gonna speak something here, and I want you to understand that what I'm about to read to you, it is possible. It is possible to walk perfect before the Lord and to stay that way. It is possible. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I want to say something. When God said that, he said this. He said exactly this. He's saying, I've given you everything pertaining to life and holiness. I've given you everything in this word. I've given you everything, and I am going to make it possible. It's up to you to grab a hold of it. And it's by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't do this by works. You have to have works and faith mix. Faith first, then works. Paul said it this way. He said, I will show you my works by my faith. Okay? And I'll show you my faith by my works. So they are mixed. Faith without works is dead. and works without faith is dead. They're both dead letter. And we're in a live letter gospel today. We got to have something that's right. We got to have truth. We got to have something that's going to bring a presence of God that's going to make a difference. Because if it doesn't make a difference, then we're no better than the rest of the world. We're just singing kumbaya and walking in somewhere where we don't want to walk. Okay. It says, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Remember that word lust. Lust and desires a lot of times are in a secular sense, they are always connected. And they will trap you. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Has anybody come up short lately and said, I'm barren? I'm unfruitful. Read this and just let it get in your heart, okay? I mean, it's something that I believe that. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now these are the basics of what Paul was talking about. He says, lay not again the foundations. He said, don't go back to the basics. These are the basics. But as the church of Jesus Christ today, we don't have that installed in us, ingrained in us, embedded in us in the way that God wants it. We just don't. It says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. My gosh. We got to understand that. That is a promise. That is a great and precious promise. That is something that we can grab a hold of tonight, and we can say, this is a promise that if we do these things, that if we set our wills and cast down those earthly desires, those worldly desires, and decide that we are going to be that people that are separated unto God, that there is going to be a rising up of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, I found out one thing about him for 33 years. He will not bear witness to a lie. He doesn't bear witness to a lie. There's no presence of God when we are trying to walk beside him and not do it his way. There's no presence of God when we're speaking things that aren't true, when we're doing things that are other than God's ways. So the only way that we're going to get under the shadow of his wings is to be perfect before the Lord, is to love the Lord our God. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have an issue. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a trial. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fail. It means this. It means when you have failure, you get on your knees and you cry out to a holy God. And you say, God, come to me. He says, come to me in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me and I shall give you rest. You walk into that rest. You walk into your prayer closet. For 30 years, I've known one thing, that when I get on my knees every day, no matter how bad the situation or how bad of a jerk I've been, I know one thing, that there's a God there that will not only correct me, he spanks my butt sometimes, but he brings mercy. He brings truth, and he brings life. And it isn't because of me. It's because of who he is. And because he says, I'm going to give you a new heart, and you are my people, he's saying. He's saying, He does not want you to walk sideways with him. He doesn't want you to walk in adversity all your life. Yes, you're going to have trials, and you are going to fail, but he's there to pick you up. He's there to grab a hold of you. He's there. All you got to do is say, God, you know, it's like when you're in a boxing match, in a fight in the ring, you get up. You get up or you're going to get your lunch. You don't get back. You don't sit down. You don't throw in a towel. Not in Christianity, because it might cost you your life and the life of your children. Amen. You don't throw in a towel. And I don't care. I've been in that place where I threw in the towel. I set it down. And I said, God, I don't want no more. I walked completely away from God for 2 months a couple years ago. And you all know it. But I want to tell you something. God was faithful. God was faithful. 1980, he gave me a wife who loved me. And I don't know how she did it, but she prayed for me during that time in the midst of her pain. And I know this, that God is faithful. And I'm going to declare one thing today, that every one of you can walk perfect before God. And every one of you, if you'll bring a willing desire to just say, God, I lay down myself. The biggest thing today is repentance. We're not in this. For years and years, we come to church and we lift up our hands and we get all these teachings and it just continues to flood our souls. And sometimes I know I felt that my heart was grieved by God, that God was grieved by my heart because I become so, oh God, I'm going to this next revelation. You have a new revelation. There's no new revelation with God. We're all on the same playing field. It's this word. It's right here. And that's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where he's bringing us, to himself. He's taken us out of the hands of these pulpiteers that have for ages had their hands out begging. I don't care for that kind of a ministry. Neither will I ever sit down and bow down to them or let them have any kind of credence in my life. Or nor will I shut my mouth in their presence. Because the Lord told me very quickly. It says it here. He says, you rebuke when those things come. You bring the presence of God. And it isn't about me, but it's what we're called to do. We're called to defend the gospel in a right manner, being worthy, being ready to defend ourselves, to lift up for the calling that is placed upon us. And if every day, I don't care in your driest time, this word needs to be saturated in your heart. And I have seen the driest times where God has used me the most. When I feel like I'm just like out in space somewhere, and he'll just put somebody in front of me and say, hello, God directs, come back here. And he'll put somebody right in my face saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to Titus 2 with me. Okay, so tonight I've told you some things about being perfect and how we need to forsake sin and not to walk, you know, to walk with God. Okay, well, Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, I want to just bring something to you tonight. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Okay. What is the grace of God that brings salvation? It's Jesus, right? For that grace has brought salvation to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might be redeemed from all, he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Matthew 5, verse 48 says this. It says, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven. So if we're here tonight and we think that God, you've laid something impossible on my heart, you've laid something that ain't right, God, I can't make it any further. I'm here to tell you that you can make it. Because I'm going to show you, if you go back to Psalms 91, we're going to look at the rest of Psalms 91, and I'm going to show you what happens when you get there. I'm going to show you how God takes his people and how he protects them and how he walks them through it. And no matter how the trial, how hot it gets, he prevails at all levels. So let's go back to Psalms 91. I'm going to start reading it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. And I want you to understand what the snare of the fowler, it says traps that the enemy lays. They're, literally, the fowler was a person who trapped birds. But it is referred to as an allegory of how those little traps that take us, who are considered the doves of the Lord. If you go into Song of Songs, he said, thou art my beloved, my dove. We are the doves of the Lord, how those traps are set. And the pestilence is this disease. It's the not only physical disease, but spiritual disease. Okay? It says, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. And he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust his truth, and trust his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. When God becomes your shield, he fights your battles. When God becomes your buckler, he becomes your strength. When God becomes that, comes to that place where we unchain the pit bulls that are in our hearts and we say, well, I'm going to do this, that our first reaction. When God is our shield, he is armed with a mighty sword to do battle for you. He says, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. In other words, you don't have to worry about your future, folks. You don't have to worry about what's coming down the pike. You don't have to worry about the provision of material stuff. Because he says, you'll never see his seed forsaken or his seed begging for bread. He will provide for you. He will provide. You don't have to worry because you're under his shelter. It's his plan. And he wants, it's an opportunity for a miracle. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen opportunities for miracles at every level in my life. Because God has never, I mean, there's been times when I've had money, but it just runs through my fingers. I give it away or I do whatever. But he's always provided for us. He's never, ever left us forsaken. And it, here's something that I think we need to understand. He says, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. You know, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, it's when we are alone. We don't have to fear. You might be at church and you feel built up, but it's when you're alone and you're doing whatever you're doing, and the enemy comes and he tempts you because he's got a little bit of that desire. He knows your clock. He knows how to click it too. And he comes to you and he says, okay, I want you to do this. Nobody will see me. But God says it this way. He says it this way. You don't have to fear that when you're under the shadow of his wings. You don't have to fear him. You don't have to fear the enemy. The enemy can't touch you when you're under the shadow of God's wings. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. I have seen that. I have seen it. And I know there's several of us in here. I know our pastors have seen that. Every one of you have seen that God, when you're in the midst of the fire and you decide that you're going to make a stand and you say right there, and you stay right there, God protects you. And it says, and this is something that I've seen in a situation where my wife and I were it was so awesome. And we refused to bring a bad report against somebody. But it says, and only with thy eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. They have a reward, and their reward is destruction. Do you understand that? And it doesn't make my heart happy that they are going to be destroyed. But when they put their hands to God's anointed, I want to tell you something. They're striking something that God has said, that's my excellent one. And I'm telling you now, you don't want to ever be under that hand because you said you did something against another brother. That's why you keep your conscience clear. If you purposely hurt somebody else or do wickedly, rip them off or something like that, understand, you will have the butt spanking of your life. I guarantee it. Because when we act in wickedness as children of God, we will walk sideways and we will be spanked. And it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall be no evil shall befall me, and neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash the foot against the stone. And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall not trample under thy, thou shalt trample under thy feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he has known my name. I want to submit to you, church, that this is a key. God has set his love upon you. He has set it upon you. He sealed it with the blood of his Son. He's sealing it today with his Holy Spirit. And he's brought you out. He's bringing you out of every situation. And here's the promise, that he has set his love on you. And because he has, you can stand and you can tell the devil, you can tell the enemy, though you slay me, yet I will serve him. And mean it. And I am going to serve the Lord. Job said that in the midst of one of the worst trials I've ever heard of anybody going through. He said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. And he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him, and long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I know that we are in the midst of a serious situation in this church. But I want to say something here. I want to bring this to bear. Everything that I told you tonight, I want you to understand that being perfect for the Lord is having this one thing in our hearts, that God, no matter what, I'm going to serve you. And God, no matter what, my desire, I'm setting my desire on you. No matter what the addiction, no matter what the sin is, no matter what the personal issue is, I'm setting myself, my heart towards you. I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me. And folks, you're not going to do it unless you have the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to close with this last scripture. And it's in Luke 11. 5 through 13. Here Jesus was, he was praying in a certain place and he was speaking to the multitudes. And he just taught the disciples how to pray. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven." And then in verse 5 he says, and he said unto them, because this is a matter of prayer, he was giving them an allegory of where he wanted, of what the way he wanted them to pray, the way he wanted them to condition their heart, the way he wanted them to understand what God was saying. And this is what he was saying. He said, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves.'" And each one of those loaves represents something: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee.' And I say to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because he is of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and everyone that seeks finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask for the bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that need it?" I want to submit to you today that what we need in this church and what we need universally as a church of Christ is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that supersedes everything we've ever experienced. Because the Bible says it this way, that the darker it gets, the stronger the presence of God. Because God created us. He is not going to let his creation go to hell unless they willingly decide to. Does that make sense? So I want to submit to you today one thing. If you're in the midst of a trial, and you're in the midst of pain, and you're in the midst of things not going right, I want to ask you one thing. What is it standing between you and the Holy Spirit? Now, this is God himself. Ruach Adonai is the Hebrew word for that. It means God sovereignly rules with power. Okay? Ruach Adonai. Go home and look it up. And when Ruach came in the Old Testament, men like Isaiah asked God for a coal to run across his lips. When Ruach came, men like Ezekiel seen wheels of fire. When Ruach came to John on the island of Patmos, he had the book of Revelation. When the Ruach came, Acts 2, people just with the evidence of tongues gave one of the biggest, started one of the biggest revivals throughout history. When Ruach came, Rex Beals got saved. When Ruach came, every one of you got saved. So what makes us think that we can't rely on that power that saved us now? Come on, people. We got to rely on it. If we're in sin, we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and deal with it, to give us a heart to repent, to give us a heart If we're not in sin and we're having issues and we're just not seeing clear, we got to ask the Holy Spirit. Because when you get a hold of the Holy Spirit, there's one thing that happens. He says, I will show you the things to come. If he's going to show you the things to come, and you're going to see, you're going to have the discernment to walk through the fire, you're going to have the discernment to walk through the trouble unscathed. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, and if you don't, if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to ask the Holy Ghost to come upon you and baptize you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, with the evidence of his power. Apostle Paul refused to preach the gospel. He said, I come not to you with fancy words. He said, but I come with you to you in the demonstration, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Spirit is here tonight. I believe that he's going home with every one of you if you'll allow him. I believe that no matter what you're going through, I believe that if you'll allow and you'll submit your will to him and you'll say, it's not my will, but your will be done. You'll walk out of this and you'll walk into glory, because I believe that the joy of God's salvation is about to hit the church in a way that has never hit it. I believe that God has taken the shame off of the church's eyes, and he's about ready to pour out his Spirit, and I believe that he's going to use every one of you. I don't care how long you've been saved or how little you've been saved. God is going to use you. God wants to use our children, but we need to decide that we're going to walk with God today. And that's where you're going to go back to Psalms 91. And every time the enemy comes and reminds you, he tries to tell you, oh, you're not under his protection. You don't have anything. You're nothing but a dirty sinner, and you're feeling that guilt and condemnation. You understand one thing. You see, he that dwells in the shadow of the Almighty, he that dwells, I am he, I am his beloved, I am that one, I am the one that he delights in. And you sit there and you get under that wing, you get on your knees and you pray, and you pray and you pray and you pray and you cry out to God in this hour, and God will move, God will move. He's not powerless. His hand is not so short that he cannot save. He is here tonight. He is there. He will go home with you, but you have to allow him. You have to submit to him. It's not just wham, bam, you know, Lord, okay, I'm happy now. It's not kumbaya with God. This is serious stuff, folks. This is serious stuff. We can't get into emotionalism any longer. You know, we can fall down on this altar all day long. You can come up here and have pastors or me or anybody pray for you. You can fall down, but unless you get up, a changed man or woman, you're deceiving yourselves. You're in deception. Because the Holy Spirit, a lot of times I've seen in my past, I've seen when people fall down, they get a little touch, but God doesn't get the full work. He doesn't do the full work because we're so involved in this experience. Or they get a prophetic word. And I want to tell you something tonight. This is something the Lord told me when I was preaching this message. Or I was preparing for this message. There's some of you here tonight that you don't understand your call. I want to tell you something. Any call is not yours. It's not your call. It's God's. It's God's call on your life. And any call that he gives you, it's going to die. You understand? It's got to die. Unless the seed falls to the earth and dies, it cannot raise up and bear fruit. It's the way it is. Jesus had to die. God made a perfect example in his son. He had to die to bring forth resurrection power. And that's the way it is. Our vision needs to die somewhere. But we need to understand that the call of God in our life is one thing. That we have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry to pray, to get before God's face and pray, to seek his face every day. And that's what it is. You have to discipline your life. If you want to hear from God, you get on your knees and say, God, here I am. It doesn't need to be flowery prayers. It doesn't need to be any of that. The best prayers I've ever prayed was snot dripping down my nose saying, oh, God, help me. I'm serious. It's been that kind of a prayer. But I'm just saying that God wants to empower you today, people. So I don't know. Where you're at tonight, but I do know this, that the Lord didn't give me this message just for to make you feel bad or feel good or anything else. He gave you this message to grab a hold of it. He gave me this message because it was needed here. And I believe that God wants to heal. I believe that God wants to deal wisely. And today, we're going to do it different. I'm not going to pray for you. If you need prayer tonight, I want you to come up here and I want to put you face to face with my God, the Holy Spirit, Ruach Adonai. And I want you to seek his face. But then I want you to take him with you. I do not want you to leave here if you're up here tonight feeling like you're abandoned. This is not something that this man can touch or any of our pastors or anybody else can touch. This is something that God has to touch because God is coming forward to take back his church. And I am praying for this message. I was just like, yeah. And I just knew that whenever the enemy comes that way and he's trying to distract and all this stuff, I know that there's something that God wants to do. So tonight when you come, know this. If there's a personal issue that you have, grab Paul, Brandy, Rebecca, Jason and Kim, ask the leadership to pray for you. But for this purpose of coming here to submit to God, let it be the Holy Spirit that touches your life. And as we begin to worship the Lord, you can come down here and God's going to touch your life. If you need more of the Holy Spirit, God's going to touch your life. If you need, I don't care what your need is, if you don't know how to get to the shadow, under the shadow, let the Holy Spirit show you. Amen? So I'm going to pray. And I'd just like to ask you, you know, I'm kind of, I don't believe in the bowing of the heads because I'm going to boldly say something here. If you're here tonight, the Bible says confess your sins. And you have adamant sin in your life. I want you to raise your hand because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to heal you. And I believe that God wants to bring this thing to a halt right now. Can you say right now? Okay. I believe that it's his mercy that does it. It's not because of anything I'm doing. It's because he loves you. You're his excellent ones. And church, you've got to get a hold of this in this hour. Because if you don't get a hold that you are his beloved, the enemy is going to take you. Matthew 24 says, and this scripture just takes me apart every time I read it because I realize that many people that call themselves Christians, they are literally going to walk away from God in these times, and it's going to cost them their soul. It says, for the love of many, their hearts wax cold, because in the end, the thoughts of man were continuously evil. And that word evil translates to violence. And I want to say to you tonight, do not walk away from this place without touching, grabbing the hold of the hem of his garment. Because I know when that blood touches your life, That blood is a redeemer. That blood can cleanse. That blood can break every bondage. He broke an $800 heroin habit off of me in one day. And he broke bondages in my life throughout my life as I submitted my will. And he hunted down those sins. I want to tell you what I gave you tonight is free. Because the simple road is to allow the Holy Spirit to hunt your sins down one by one and deal with them and submit your will to him. That's the simple road. It's taken me 31 years to get here. You don't have to go that far. Amen?
Amen.
So if we can start worshiping, I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray, you can come up. Father, I just thank you, God. Because of who you are. And I thank you, God, for your power. I thank you, Lord, that you sent the Holy Spirit to convict us. But you sent the Holy Spirit to show us the things to come. And you sent him to heal. You sent him as a comforter. You sent him to reinforce the love message that you've given us that we don't understand with our natural eyes. But if we will ask and we seek and we knock, God, that we come tonight, God, to seek, to ask, to seek, to knock, and Lord, to pound the gates of heaven. And because of our importunity, Lord, we come and we just bang on heaven's doors. We're knocking on heaven's gates tonight, and we're asking you, Lord, Father, as we stand, we come to your throne of grace. Lord, just to come, we need help today. We need an outpouring. We can't do it on our own. Lord, purge us. Not just purge us, but put us under the shadow of your wings, oh God, where we're protected from the enemy, to where the path that you've called us to is holy, and that we realize that, and we come in adoration. Because Jesus, you're matchless. You're matchless and beyond compare. You are our God. And we are your children. You are our beloved. Lord, the world would say, who is your God that's better than another? But we say, you are the Lord God who created the heavens and the earth. You are the one who created us in your own image. We were not created in the image of sin, but we were created in your image to have moral character, moral definition, and moral vibrancy, God, that we might worship you and kiss your face and worship, Lord. And we come to kiss the face of God tonight, to love you and to praise you and to worship you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.